Haven's weekly podcast with Pastor Ryan Martinez. Our purpose at Haven is to create a fun atmosphere for teenagers to discover God together. Our hope is to lead you into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ by teaching you how to know God and make Him known. Thanks for listening.
Like pumped, school's almost out or what? Yeah, I'm like super excited for summer. Shut up, you jerk. I'm just kidding. That's awesome. Man, I'm excited for summer, and I don't even get time off. Like, I'm just excited for it to be warm. Question. Have you guys ever played the game Mortal Kombat? Raise your hand if you have. Mortal Kombat. Yeah. There's a still picture of a Mortal Kombat character with a little, Scorpion. Do you know what I'm talking about? Aaron, there's a still picture. Let's see. Hey, Jonathan, would you mind helping him find it real quick? Oh, there it is. He got it. Yeah, Mortal Kombat. It's this fighting game that I grew up playing when I was a little kid. It's basically one-on-one, and, you know, there's all this blood and stuff like that. I can't believe my mom ever let me play it, but she did. And I love playing it. And Scorpion was a character, and he was, like, my favorite character. Who was some of your guys? Casey, who was your favorite character? Scorpion? Man, that's why we're friends, man. Jonathan, who was your favorite character? Cool. There wasn't one guy that you like. Really? Interesting. I never heard that before. Who else? Does anyone else have a favorite character in that game? The one that looked like Bruce Lee. I think you're talking about Liu Kang. Yeah, he was cool, but I like Scorpion. There was something about Scorpion to me that was like, man, this guy is tight. Like, nobody can beat him. He had this projectile that came out of his hand, and he would shoot it, and it would grab you, and it would pull him towards you, and then he'd just proceed to annihilate whoever. And the most distinguishing thing about Scorpion was when he would shoot that projectile out of his hand, he'd say, "Get over here!" like that every single time, or "Come here!" And I just always loved that. Me and my brother would run around the house doing that to each other. It was, like, really funny. That's the only move I used when I play that game. I used to make my brother so mad because, I mean, just all the time, "Get over here, get out," you know, whatever. It was really funny. If this isn't making any sense to you guys, I want to show you guys kind of what I'm talking about. I have a little video clip that I want you to see. So, Aaron, you can go ahead and play that for me. It's got sound. Come here! Oh, the memories. They even made a movie out of it. Yeah, we have them. Mortal Kombat. We have them. We have both of them. That's a guy called Sub-Zero. You guys know that? And that's Johnny Cage. No match for Scorpion. Yeah, this is the movie. So that's a little peek into my childhood. That's a little bit why I'm messed up. What? You wanna watch it? Okay. Me and you, man, we'll watch it. But that's a little bit of what I grew up on. That video game was awesome. I loved Scorpion. I have a question for you, and I'll tie that in a second. But question, can somebody here give me an extremely short version of how you got saved? Quickly, how you got saved. Cameron, will you share with us a little bit of how you got saved?
So kindergarten, I was going to this church, Baptist church, and like on Sunday they would come around like on school buses.
So basically, somebody picked you up and brought you to church, basically. Cool. Very cool. Is there one more person who'd like to share? Molly.
Yes.
Did someone bring you to camp? Yeah, so somebody brought you to the church and the church brought you to camp. Cool, very cool. Miranda, would you like to share? I saw you raise your hand. Is that the church that your family went to? So, like, it's the church that your parents brought you to. Okay. Cool. I think about the first time that I really learned about who God was, and it all boiled down to a friend of mine brought me to youth group. And I wonder sometimes where I'd be right now if he hadn't have done that. I think about where I'd be, the type of person I was when I was in high school, and I think about the road I was headed down, and I'm like, where would I be if he hadn't have just befriended me and brought me to youth group? I'll just be really honest with you guys. I'll paint a really accurate picture of where my life was headed. If he hadn't reached out to me and I was who I am now, I would be probably divorced. I'd probably have a couple of different kids from a couple of different women. And I'd probably be trying to kick addictions to alcohol and pornography. I'd probably be struggling with wanting to end my own life. I wouldn't be married to Robin. Where's Robin at? I wouldn't be married to her. And I wouldn't be a youth pastor. I wouldn't be here. There's no way I'd be 700 miles away from my family. That's just the reality. Like, because this guy reached out to me, it changed my life forever. It changed my life forever. My life is vastly different because a 22-year-old intern befriended me, and he invited me to youth group. He didn't preach a message. He didn't sing a song. He didn't outline for me why I should follow God. He was simply my friend, and he invited me to youth group. That's it. He brought me to a place where he knew that I would encounter God. He knew I would encounter the love of God in the youth group that he invited me to. He knew I would encounter, in a real way, the Spirit of God. And so his mentality was, man, if I can just get this guy, if I can just get him to the presence of God, his life could be changed forever. In a way, he was like Scorpion. He grabbed me, and he was like, man, I have to get this guy where I'm at. I have to get him where I'm at because God is real to me. God is real in this place, and I want him to experience it. God could change his life forever. And I think you guys are probably going to think I'm a little nuts, but I think Scorpion, the Mortal Kombat character, I think he was actually a disciple of Jesus in the Bible. I think they took a disciple and they modeled this character, Scorpion, after him. Do you guys know who the disciple Andrew is? Have you guys ever heard of Andrew? You've never heard of him. That's not an uncommon thing. Andrew is not very well known. He's one of the 12 disciples, but he's not known for doing anything great necessarily. He's spoken of as a disciple 5 times, and 3 of those times he's referred to as Peter's brother. So Peter's brother, Andrew, not Andrew the disciple, Peter's brother, Andrew, you know. So Andrew's not known for doing anything great necessarily. He didn't preach any awesome message. He didn't, like, cast out demons, like, none of that stuff. But he's a disciple, and there's something very, very specific he's known for, and I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. But before I read it, I want to pray. So as you're opening your Bibles, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to join us tonight. God, you are good. And I thank you for what you're doing in my heart. I thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of my friends. And I just ask, Father, that you would meet us here tonight, that you would pierce our hearts with your truth, that you would speak to us in a way that we would clearly understand. I pray that you would compel our hearts to move after we hear your words tonight, Father. Compel our hearts to do something. We love you, God. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 1, starting in verse 35, we're going to go all the way to verse 42. If you don't have it, I have the scriptures up on the screen. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. It's John the Baptist, the guy who's running around telling everybody, you know, basically, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. Prepare your hearts, prepare the way, repent, the Lord is coming. John the Baptist. The following day, John was standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter. So this guy Andrew, who's one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, he's not famous for doing anything. He's not famous for preaching, not famous for casting out demons, nothing. Not famous for any of that. He was actually a disciple of John the Baptist who is preparing the way for Jesus at this point. He's a disciple of John the Baptist, and John's like, "Look, there's the Messiah. There's the one we've been waiting for." And Andrew's like, "Deuces, you know, deuces, John. You know, I'm going to go follow him." John's like, "Do it." And so Andrew was pointed in the direction of Jesus by John. And it said, if you guys notice, it said basically Andrew spent one day with Jesus. He spent one day with Jesus, and his encounter with Jesus in one day was enough for him to know, okay, this guy really is God. This guy is God. He is the Messiah. He's the one we've been waiting for. I have to tell people. The one that the scriptures had been prophesying for hundreds of years. This is him. And then what does it say? It says Andrew just basked in the fact that he found salvation, right? He found out who the Messiah was, and he was just glowing because of it, and he just sat back and enjoyed it. No, it didn't say that. It didn't say that Andrew found the Messiah, and then he was content, and he started a family and just kind of minded his own business the rest of his life. No. It says that Andrew found the Messiah. He found salvation. He found what everyone was looking for, and he went and he started telling people, "I found it. I got it. This is, you need this. I know what you need. If you just come with me, if you just come with me, your life could be different." Andrew himself didn't do anything extraordinary. He didn't preach. He didn't teach. Andrew just knew in his heart that if he could get Peter into Jesus' presence, it could change his life forever. And it did. It did change Peter's life forever. Not only did it change Peter's life forever, it changed the course of the church forever. Forever. Okay. It says that Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. If you do a little research, and this is the nerd in me, the name Simon, I think it actually says it in there too, but I just love looking up this stuff. Simon literally means pebble. Simon means pebble, but the name Peter means rock. So Jesus, in that moment, the instant Peter meets Jesus, Jesus changes his identity. Because in this culture, a lot of who you were was derived from your name. And so in an instant, the first time Jesus meets Peter, Jesus changes his identity. He says, you're not going to be this small pebble anymore. You're going to be this rock. And later Jesus says, on Peter, on this rock, on you, I'm going to build my church. Jesus says that to Peter. And so in an instant, Jesus changed his life. And not only that, in Acts, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and people were filled, Peter was one of the people filled with the Holy Spirit. And that same day, on Pentecost, Peter preached a message, and 3,000 people got saved in one day. 3,000 people got saved in one day. And not only that, later, Peter went to Rome to preach the gospel. He went to Rome to tell people about Jesus. And basically, Peter is largely responsible for the conversion of Rome to Christianity. I have a question for you to think about. This is a rhetorical question. I want you to think about this. What if Andrew never brought Peter to Jesus? What would Christianity look like? Basically, the cornerstone of Christianity is Jesus, but Jesus said, I'm gonna build this thing on you. The cornerstone of Christianity is Peter and what he did after Jesus rose from the dead. What if Andrew never reached out to Peter? What would have happened to Christianity? Would it have died? Would it have been the most would it have ended up being the most popular or one of the most popular religions in the world? I don't know. What would have happened if Andrew didn't reach out to Peter? What if Andrew didn't feel like sharing that day? He just didn't feel like it. Some other time. I'll let Peter know some other time. What if Andrew got scared? What if he got scared? Like, oh, what if Peter rejects me? What if he makes fun of me? What if he doesn't like me anymore? What if he doesn't want anything to do? What if he calls me stupid? Or what if he calls me religious or something like that? What if Andrew let those kind of thoughts like keep him from bringing Peter to Jesus? Like, what would have happened to us? Would we even know God? Like that's stuff that I think about. And I think if any of that stuff went through Andrew's head, if any of the doubts and fear and all that, if any of that went through his head, he nipped it in the bud. It didn't matter to him because what he had was more important than how he felt. The salvation that he found in Jesus was more important for people to know about than how he felt at the time. Andrew knew that if he could just get Peter, into the presence of Jesus, it could change Peter's life forever. Now I want you to think about you real quick. I want you to think about you. All of you guys are in here for one reason or another, because somebody invited you or somebody brought you. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe your parents brought you up in this church. Whatever it is, somebody brought you here. Somebody invited you. Somebody gave you an opportunity to experience God. What if they didn't? What if in their heads they're like, it's not worth it. They're going to reject me anyways. What if they don't like me? What if the people who brought you, the people who invited you, the people who prayed for you, the people who poured into you, what if those people are just like, it's not worth it? How different would your life be? How different would things be for you right now? Where would your life be headed? Now I want you to think about this. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of kids your age in this city that don't know Jesus, that don't know that they have hope in him. There's kids on your team that don't understand that life can be better than what it is now. There's kids in your school that think there's nothing better for them. There's people that, some of you have jobs and some of you work with people who are hopeless. Some of your coworkers don't know that they have purpose to their life. And this is I say all this tonight to tell you this. You have the opportunity to be like Andrew tonight. You don't have to preach a message. You don't have to sing a song or play the right notes or anything like that. All you got to do is get them to the presence of God. All you got to do is get them to a place where you know God is. You know the presence of God exists. You know that get them to a place where you know they'll be loved, and God will do the rest. God is that big. You don't have to do anything. Just get him to a place where they can experience God. What if somebody is waiting for you to be their Andrew? What if somebody's waiting for you to bring them to Jesus? What if somebody's waiting for hope? What if somebody's waiting to know that there's someone out there that loves them, no strings attached? What if that person could be you? I think it's a lot simpler than we make it in our heads. I think we build it up in our heads to be this giant thing that's going to take a lot of time, that it's going to take a lot of effort, and it's going to be this big, scary thing, and people are going to reject us. I don't think so. I think it's as easy as getting them to where God's presence is. I think it's that easy. It was that easy for Andrew. Andrew just brought Peter to where he knew he would encounter Jesus, and Jesus took care of the rest. That's it. Tonight, I think God is saying that if we'll just get people into his presence, he'll take care of the rest. Who in your school, who in your family, who on your team does God want to reach through you? I want you to think about that for a second. Who on your team, who in your school, who in your workplace, who in your family does God want to reach through you?